It's Marketplace Tech for November 7th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. It might be Monday, but if you're Fitbit and GoPro right now, you're probably just glad last week is over. The fitness tracker company and camera maker both had tough quarterly profit reports last week, marked by sales dips and dim outlooks. If you want to look for the reason a wearable company and adventure cam maker new to public markets are struggling, you might just need to check your pocket, where your smartphone might beat the other gadgets in a lot of specs. To talk more about this, we called up Forrester's Julie Osk. Julie, are smartphones hurting the larger gadget market?
Yeah, so I do believe, you know, smartphones tend to be good enough. The cameras in these devices are fantastic. These smartphones have sensors in them. They can count our steps. They can monitor our heart rate. There's so much that they can do. And they've got, I think they've got a couple of advantages over some of these dedicated devices as well. You know, one of the first and foremost things is that they're connected.
Well, GoPro and Fitbit have built some connectivity into their devices.
The challenge here is that things like smartphones and smartwatches are getting better. I'm one of those people who, when the Apple Watch first came out, I said, yeah, this is great. I like it for notifications. I like it for payment, but I'm not giving up my dedicated sleep wearable, swim wearable, run wearable. Apple Watch comes out with a second version that has GPS in it. It's waterproof. It actually has an app for counting laps in the pool. And I said, wow, you know what? That's not only good enough. This is a better experience than these dedicated devices. And I pushed them aside.
How do these companies keep evolving to compete? How are they going to survive?
You know, I think it's an open question whether or not, you know, all of these companies will survive. You know, not every company is built to last forever.
There's also nothing wrong with them being niche companies, theoretically, right? It's just that they've gone public now.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with being a niche company, but you're right. Yeah. They've gone public, and now there's these expectations that they're going to continue to grow quarter over quarter over quarter, and I think that's where it gets to be difficult.
How would you advise the next startup that looks like a young GoPro or Fitbit?
Yeah, you know, the advice that I would give to a young company is it's not all about the hardware. You know, the best hardware doesn't always win. And you have to acknowledge that consumers expect outcomes and they expect services to be layered in with these products. And the services may be your do or die, you know, moment with these consumers.
Julie Osk of Forrester. Julie, thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Thank you for including me.
From money in hardware to money in software and where we find the stuff we covet.
Boom. Amazing.
J'adore.
Mine!
Darling.
Yes, that is Miss Piggy, and it's from a Kate Spade Instagram post. You may have heard us say that Instagram was adding some e-commerce functionality to its video and photo platform. Easy click to buy links, a buy button, basically several ways that some retailers can get some of those 500 million global Instagram users to get to the website where they can add things to the old virtual shopping cart. All of these features in Instagram start today. Bit of skepticism for you here. A lot of social media platforms have not had success with buy buttons. Where did that old Twitter buy button go, you ask? Exactly. Do me a quick favor. Turn off the television, turn down the cable news. I love them dearly, but I need you to remember this. The hacking of an actual election has never happened. That is partly because most of the voting technology is not attached to the internet at all, for the very reason that hackers could interfere. All of that said, our system, which includes some online voting, mainly used by people voting from overseas, has its problems. They've been detailed in a long piece of reporting by Bayard Duncan, community manager at Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting. Thanks for talking with me, Bayard. Doing it old school makes it more secure?
That's right. Yeah, there are about 9,000 or more various jurisdictions across the U.S. that are each free to make their own calls about how their elections are run. And in many ways, this is a benefit, right? I mean, it means that a large-scale assault on voting machines would be incredibly difficult. It would require boots on the ground. It would mean fanning out and being undetected while you're physically trying to compromise all of these machines.
Sure.
The problem with online voting is that by allowing votes to travel across the internet, you're leaving them susceptible to tampering on a large scale, according to the experts I talked to.
Yeah, part of your reporting here is about how fragmented the decision-making around voting technology is, and doing this in a more unified way at the federal level might not really be a solution, right? Because it makes it easier for hackers to find and attack one target.
What's interesting about how the federal government has interacted with internet voting over the years is that since 2000 or so, the federal government has basically commissioned studies investigating internet voting. And when they commission these studies, the response they get from cybersecurity experts is almost uniformly the same. Given the limitations of the internet right now as it exists, this is not something that's safe to be doing over the internet. You know, a lot of people will say, why don't we vote online? We do our banking online. The difference is that banks account for and actually expect a certain degree of fraud, and they sort of build that into their system.
Part of the real threat here might just be like messing with vote tallies enough that it throws uncertainty not into a specific contest, but the whole system, and making that uncertainty happen at a really dangerous time when there's supposed to be a transfer of power, right?
Exactly. That's a key point to remember here, because the idea that any sort of evidence of a compromise of voter security would sort of set off this chain of events in which one candidate or another is now in a position to point to this as being a, you know, a rigged system or an unfair system, a compromised system.
Byard Duncan is community manager at Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting. Byard, thank you for talking to me.
Thanks for having me.
I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.